Good evening. It's good to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight. Here's what we're going to do. Something a little different. We're going to give you an opportunity to choose a couple of songs. But be nice. Don't go finding something that we haven't heard in about 300,000 years, all right? So let's get started.
And if I don't know it,
you play it.
Got it?
So be kind, and someone give us a song, congregation song. Not everybody at once. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Page 359. Everybody stand. Let's sing together. Great choice of a song. Would you take us, Lord, to a word of prayer tonight?
Dear Lord, we are leaning on your everlasting arms tonight. So many people are having illnesses and children's homes are out and all, Lord. We just start leaning on you, Lord, and we just trust that you will. We know that you'll be with them. They'll be back with us soon as well as some of the others.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I heard a couple more. What was another one of those?
Where can I go?
Where could I go? Where could I go? Page 345. again, please go ahead and make Jubilee a matter of prayer. We're 8 weeks away and excited. I looked over the list this morning. We've got some great, great men of God coming, some special music through the week. Choir will be singing every service. Ladies Ensemble will be singing some. And then we've got some special guests, and the pastor, as we get a little closer, he'll tell a little bit of more about those, and we look forward to that. But again, that's, I believe, starts the first Sunday of March. First Sunday of March. And we'll run through Thursday. And again, we'll tell you more as we get a little closer. But we're very excited about that and look forward to what the Lord has for us. And so just make that a matter of prayer. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. And thank Him for His blessings and ask Him to be with those that are going through some difficult times physically. And I just pray for the service tonight. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray? I get to follow that. The good thing is he will accompany me and make me sound good. All right, here we go. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus touched me. I'm gonna shout.
Well, I have to follow that. Not tonight. Thank you, brother. And see a familiar face in the back there. Good to see Brother Monty. And slipping in on us this evening. Let me send out a couple, give you a couple prayer requests that didn't mention this morning. Brother Fletcher Denton, just wanted to, he asked for prayer. I don't think anything big time is going on. I just happened to read a messenger he sent me, and he was at home today, and just wanting the church to pray for him. So we were mentioning Brother Fletcher tonight. So if you're watching, we miss you. We love you, Brother Fletcher. You've been a blessing to the church. Also, we all know that the children's home is recovering from those who had COVID. But Brother Brian wanted me to mention Miss Juliana. She's been having a very, very rough time with it. In fact, he said she has no strength at all, and the symptoms that she has are just symptom on top of symptom, just crazy symptoms is I think the word he used, crazy symptoms. So we're mentioning her tonight, praying for Miss Julie that she would get better as well. She just has extreme tiredness and cannot come out of it along with the other things. And so remember those two things. Tonight we're going to finish up the message we started this morning. But first, I want to give you a brief challenge. This is called the Be Still Challenge. The Be Still Challenge. And, of course, it's coming from the verse of Psalm 46:10. And that says, be still and know that I am God. In essence, the long and short of it, that's what it says. Be still and know that I am God. This is the challenge I want to give you. This is something that I started doing, and it's really a big challenge, but it's helped me develop some ability mentally to have a clear head and to rest in Jesus a bit more than I normally do. Here lately, I've been going on my back porch, and just out of nowhere, I would just go and have a desire to go out there when I'm home and really spend a good while each time. We have a porch swing. We're backed up to some other neighbors' houses with a patch of trees between us, particularly early in the morning before it's daylight and late at night after it's dark. I like to go out there. You can see everybody's lights on. Last night, somebody had a fire in their backyard that they were attending. And this is the challenge. I was praying a couple weeks ago, and in my prayer, I said, Lord, please just help me for 1 minute not think about a single thing and just be still. You know how incredibly hard that is? For 1 minute not to allow one thought to enter your head. And so I started doing that. I started at 1 minute, and I would sit there. I would get to a comfortable place mentally where I felt good, and I would read this verse, say it in my head, my heart, then I would just stop, and I would just, every time a thought would go to enter my mind, I would stop it. It would start again. I would stop it, and once I succeeded at a minute, I'd go to 2 minutes. I think I went to 5 minutes the other day. That is amazing for me. And what you find out is, over time, it's a helper to get you to a place of really being still and knowing who God is. And so that's the challenge I want to give you, the Be Still Challenge. Just take a moment, get to a quiet place, and just say, 1 minute, Lord, help me for 1 minute not think or entertain a single thought. Just be completely still and give you complete control for a minute. You'll be surprised what can happen. Now tonight, we want to finish what we started this morning. And we only have 2 points left. But we started talking about this morning the subject of order in the court. Order in the court. I don't have my soup spoon with me tonight. I left it at home. But we did all the beating and banging this morning. But sometimes in a courtroom, things can get crazy. You have the judge. The judge is where the judge sits in their seat, observing the courtroom, listening, watching. And there's prosecutors prosecuting. There's the same thing. Yeah, same thing. There is the defenders, defending lawyers. They're doing their job. They're defending. And sometimes during the midst of the prosecutor doing his job, her job, and the defender doing their job, it gets crazy. And the judge may have to calm the matter down by using the what, Brother Allen?
Gavel.
The gavel. That sounds like a medieval weapon, the gavel. And they slam the gavel down, and normally it gets the attention of everybody in the courtroom, and there's a calm, there's a peace, there's a quietness. This morning we likened the craziness of a courtroom to our minds. And how that in our minds there is the prosecutor prosecuting the devil. There is the defender defending Jesus. And there's all of the rest of it going on. And the same way that a judge lowers the hammer and there's peace, there's times where we need to do the same thing mentally. We need to lower the hammer. We need to slam the gavel and say, not today, Satan. We're not giving you any room. We're trusting Jesus. And so we started talking about that this morning. And we began looking at some things that, some thoughts that must go. Number one, we mentioned the thought, here we are. The thought of I can't, I can't. It's easy to, as we move into this new year, to look at things that we didn't progress in, we didn't get victory in last year, and it's easy to fall into that same mindset of I can't. And so the prosecutor, the devil, likes to have us entertain that thought, well, you can't do it, you didn't do it then, you're not going to do it now. And so that's a thought that needs to go this year. It needs to go. Because the Bible says that we can. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we talked about I can't. And then we looked at the phrase God won't. God won't. This is another thought that needs to be silenced. Sometimes we think that we allow the enemy to tell us that God won't help us because we're too much of a struggler. We're too much of a handful for him. God won't forgive me because I fail too much. God won't hear me because I'm a nobody. God won't love me because I'm unlovable. These are thoughts that come from the enemy and that come from our flesh. But the truth of the matter is, as we mentioned in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, that we have a Father who pities us. He knows our frame. He understands our struggles, mind, body, and soul. And in the midst of all of that, He still has compassion on us. Isn't that a blessing tonight? In the midst of my personal failures, my personal battles and struggles, God the Father wants me to continue to move forward and deal with those things. He has never told me and will never tell me or anybody else that He doesn't love me or care for me. Will not tell anybody that at all. And so God won't. That thought this evening needs to go in our thought process. And then, and then we looked at the third thought, and that was nobody cares. Nobody cares. This is another lie. This is another thought that comes day in and day out if we're not careful. God doesn't care about me. People don't care about me. And we know that that's false. And basically what we're doing is we are refuting the lies of the devil. We are refuting the mindset that comes with the carnal mind, the flesh mind, the natural man, where our flesh says, our carnal mind say, the devil says, nobody cares. Well, we're looking in the Bible where the Bible says that people and God do care. God cares, 1 Peter 5:7. People care, Hebrews 10:25. And we talked about Barnabas, how he was the son of encouragement. And so that is just a lie tonight that nobody cares. God cares. And people care. And so that word, that phrase, it needs to go from our thought process. And tonight I have two more points, and we're going to mention these two, and then we will wrap the sermon up. The fourth thought phrase that needs to go from our thought process, our thought life, is, I don't matter. I don't matter. Sometimes, if we're not careful, this is kind of piggybacking on our third point, but sometimes if we're not careful, we can feel like that we just don't matter. We don't matter. But tonight, we do matter. Each and every one of us matters to God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so that verse, that one verse alone says that you matter. You matter to God. We all are a creation of God. We are created in his image, his triune image. Body, soul, and spirit is what we have. And we are a creation of God. He wants all of his creations to become children of God. And a creation of God becomes a child of God by accepting the Creator's plan of salvation. So he wants us all to be children of God. He wants to use us and bless us. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And so tonight, we matter. We matter. Think about for a moment Zacchaeus. He was a what kind of man? Wee little man. He was a wee little man. Zacchaeus was a little man. And in the midst of all of the crowds, in the midst of all the people thronging Jesus, Zacchaeus, he climbed up in that sycamore tree. And so Jesus was passing by, and you know, he could have just passed on by and paid no attention at all to Zacchaeus. But what happened? He saw him, didn't he? He saw Zacchaeus in that tree. And we know that Zacchaeus came down and the Lord came down and had the Lord come to his house. And we know that Zacchaeus met the Lord. And so what are you saying? I'm saying that we matter to God individually. Not just the crowds Jesus ministers to, as we see in the Bible, the multitudes and all of that. But he saw Zacchaeus. And this is encouragement to us that we matter. The Lord saw Zacchaeus in the tree. The day and times in which we live, the Lord sees each and every homeless person under the underpasses on the highway. He sees the mother who is a single mother trying to take care of her family. He sees the family that's struggling to make ends meet. He sees and he knows everything Jesus does. And so tonight, when the Satan in our carnal mind may tell us that we don't matter, that's a lie of the devil, and we ought to tell him that we do matter because the Bible says so. And so tonight we see that a lie, a thought can really, really be detrimental to us. There can be chaos in the courtroom if we're not careful in this area of I don't matter. The last point tonight is this. It's too late. It's too late. Another lie of the devil. This is a thought that must go where we may feel like it's too late. It's too late to serve God. It's too late to mend a broken relationship. It's too late to get saved. It's too late to do what I really wanted to do in life. It's too late, it's too late, it's too late. This is a strategy Satan uses to keep millions and millions on top of millions of people from ever trusting Jesus as their Savior, is that he tells them it's too late. You're unlovable. You have too many problems in your life. Jesus will never accept you. It's just too late. It's too late. And so this is a lie of the devil tonight. He says it's too late to get saved. It's too late to turn things around. It's too late to start over. Too late to apologize. Too late to forgive. Too late to start doing better. Too late to start being a better Christian. Has the enemy ever told you it's too late? Has your own mind, the carnal mind, the natural man ever said, oh, it's too late? It's not too late. It's not too late. Turn, if you would, for one moment to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. Lamentations, chapter number 3. We're going to be done early tonight. That way you can go home and get you some good rest. Lamentations, chapter number 3. Jeremiah says it's never too late. Lamentations, chapter number 3. What a wonderful, wonderful chapter. Jeremiah starts off talking about his affliction. He says in verse 1, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. And he spends this entire chapter using words and phrases. Really, it's poetical in nature. He talks about being in dark places, and he talks about the hand of the Lord being against him. Verse 7, Jeremiah uses the idea of a heavy chain being around his neck and just weighed down every day. He says, God's hand's against me. He has put a heavy chain around my neck. I live every day in affliction, so to speak. Verse 8, he says that he shuts out my prayer, it feels like. Verse number 11, he says that he's pulled into pieces. Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt like you're pulled into pieces? Verse number 13, he hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. He says there is, and that's in reference to the kidneys and the loins, the inside. Sometimes there's that deep, deep emotional pain on the inside. And so Jeremiah is saying all these things. Verse 16, feels like his teeth have been broken with gravel stones. Verse 18, his strength and his hope has perished from the Lord. That's a terrible place to be in. When you get to a place where you feel like you're hopeless, that is a terrible place to be. And we see the prophet of God here who's in this terrible, terrible place. He is at the end of his rope, so to speak, but he discovers something. While verse number 18, he says, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. But verse 21 says this, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. He says, I feel this way. I feel terrible. It's dark where I am. I have inside emotional pain. I feel hopeless. But even where I'm at the end of my rope, I have to confess one thing, that I'm not hopeless. This I recall means remembrance or remembered or to remind. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. What is he talking about? What, Jeremiah, is it that you have to remember that will cause you to remember what you're about to say, this hope? What is it that you... He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And here it is, what he remembers. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Jeremiah says that in the midst of all of this emotional turmoil, and regardless of how I feel that God is against me, I at these times have to remember that it's because of the Lord's mercies I'm not consumed. He says it's reflecting back on God's mercies and God's love that I'm not consumed. He says it's because of his mercy and because of his love I'm still here. He says I'm not too far gone. So tonight my word to you is that it's not too late. It's not too late to get back in the yoke with him. It's not too late to start up the ministry you want to start, to continue a conversation with someone that didn't end well, you know, to make wrongs right, to just walk with the Lord. It's never too late. Our flesh, our carnal mind, the devil might try to say it's too late. Jeremiah was going down that same path. He was saying it's too late, but oh yeah, I have to remember it's of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. They are new every single morning. Let me say this before we close. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Tomorrow's mercies, tomorrow's graces is not good for today. It's good for only tomorrow. And that brings encouragement, because today you may not know how you're going to make it tomorrow. But based upon the Bible, there is mercy and grace waiting on you tomorrow to get through tomorrow. You just keep going on in the mercy and grace you have today. And so we see that from the heart of Jeremiah. It's not too late. It's the thought that needs to go, or it's too late. It's a thought that needs to go, because it's never too late. I don't matter. Nobody cares. God won't, and I can't. Today, we just wanted to remind everybody, as we are on page 8 of the new chapter of the year, this is January the 8th, that there's some thoughts that need to go. Because sometimes in life there is chaos in the courtroom and there needs to be order. Sometimes mentally we just get in such a place where we're not good mentally, emotionally. But the truth of the matter is, tonight the Lord wants to intervene in our lives, and he wants to be large and in charge. And so will we let him is the question. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. God, thank you for today from start to finish. Lord, for the truths that were declared this morning and even tonight. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we have a time of invitation. Be with those who are watching online. And may we all just lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us all look unto Jesus and keep moving forward. God, help us to try and be still for just one moment mentally and go from there. Great things can happen. We love you tonight. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, you can come and pray.
Oh, to Jesus, I